Today we're back in James, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. James was originally written to newly converted Jews that were fleeing due to persecutions brought on by their newfound faith in Christ. When I read the book Pilgrim's Progress, I was somewhat convinced that Bunyan must have been reading the book of James when he wrote it, because it goes quite well together. It's a letter of trials and hardships. James encourages them and us to turn various trials into opportunities to live out our faith. Christians must put their faith in action. Trials are an opportunity to exercise a healthy faith. Taking the name Christian is not enough. It must be manifested in our lives and in our actions. Like I said, today we're at 19 and 20 of chapter 1. These are most commonly used as life lessons. You know, listen before you speak. Don't get angry. You're a Christian, and that's not very godly. You know, sometimes we hear a sermon on marriage. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Husbands, listen to your wives. Hold your tongue, let her speak, don't get mad. Same with, if you want to flip that around, wives, you listen to your husbands. There are plenty of good life lessons that could be drawn from this text. And it's really good advice for everyday living, like, you know, be quiet, you know, kind of meditate on things. And, you know, of course, anger is not a good thing. But, you know, if you wanted to give a life coaching lesson, you could sum this up in six words. Listen, shut up, don't get mad. So these are not life lessons on how to treat others. The main point hinges off of two words in verse 19. So then. So we're going to read verses 19 and 20 of James. So stand, if you would, and give honor to the text. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of God does not produce the righteousness. Wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Excuse me. Father God, we come before you this morning with humble hearts, Lord. I pray your blessing on this text, the hearing of your word, the reception of it. Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, apply it to our hearts and lives. Let us live it. Let it be manifested in our lives. Lord, we praise you in all things. Most of all, we praise you for the salvation found only in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And it's his name we pray. All of God's children said, amen. Be seated. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Like I said, it hinges off of so then. So then, or because of what? Let's back up to verse 18. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Because he brought us forth off of the path of destruction and onto the narrow path, we, beloved brethren, James is emphasizing his love for his Jewish brethren, these newly converted brothers and sisters in Christ. So we should be, or are commanded to, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. These are three, actually, commands. Listen, be quiet, don't get mad. So, swift to hear, quick to hear, anxious to hear. Because God has given us so great a gift of eternal life, we should be swift to hear, swift to hear. Swift to the hearing is the literal translation that, if you, from the original text, swift to the hearing. So James is addressing believers, these first fruits he calls them. and his creatures, the rest of us, the rest of the believers to come, these creatures, we're the rest. These are the first fruits of his new creation. We're the rest of the creatures of this new creation, this new being that is found in Christ. What should we, beloved, be anxious to hear? Back to verse 18 again, the word of truth. What did he bring us forth by? The word, Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. So verse 18 is a preamble to verse 19. Let's skip down to verses 21 to 25. Let's read that together. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Word again. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observed himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this will be blessed in what he does. So the perfect law of liberty is found where? The word. So what should we be anxious to hear? I've said it probably 15 times. The word, verse 18 again, the word of truth. We're brought forth by the word. We're brought out of this past life into a new creation. So go hear it preached. Allow the Holy Spirit to apply it to your life. Let it be manifested in your life. Sanctification comes from the word and the Holy Spirit working in us. John 17:17, Christ praying to the Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the truth. Sanctos, or saint, sanctification, the separated. We're the separated. We're set apart from the world. 1 Peter 2:9, if you're a believer, he calls us a royal priesthood. If you're a believer, you're a priest, a royal priest. You have an obligation to the word just as every other priest before you. The word brought you forth. Pay close attention to it. Get it right. Be a careful listener. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is perceptive. So have you ever heard that saying? It's better to be quiet and be thought a fool than open your mouth and to remove all doubt. So that's kind of what it's the same. That's Proverbs said it long before whoever came up with that. Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man who is hasty in words? There is more hope for a fool than him. So don't be too hasty in your words. God gave us two ears and one mouth. Use them accordingly. Listening is completely involuntary. You cannot help what comes in your ears. You can absolutely help what comes out of your mouth. Speaking takes effort. John Calvin says this, as if he were paraphrasing James, when God so freely presents himself to you, you also ought to rend yourselves teachable, lest your slowness should cause him to desist from speaking. But be anxious, beloved. John 1 John 4:1 tells us to test the spirits to see if they are of God. How do we do that? The Holy Spirit, which resides in you, will always agree with the word. So if you're never in the word or quick to the hearing of the word, you're never going to be able to tell if this feeling you get or this idea is of the Holy Spirit. You're never going to be able to discern the Spirit. A desire for the word is one of the marks of a true believer. If you can't say, you know, if you say, I like to work out and you never go to the gym, you know, it doesn't work like that. I mean, only thing I see you lift is a cheeseburger. You're probably not a big gym fanatic. Same with the word. If you say I love God and you don't go to the word ever, it might be a little more obvious that maybe you're not a believer. So we see that we ran into this week. Same thing, a gentleman. A lot of people claim the name Christ, but they don't live it. So when a child of God is especially blessed, he can find passages of praise and thanksgiving. When in trouble, he can find comfort, strength, and encouragement. When we're confused, we can find wisdom. When tempted, we can find God's standards of purity and righteousness and power to resist. John MacArthur says, the Word is the source of deliverance from temptations and trials. It becomes the most welcome friend, not only because of what it delivers us from, but what it delivers us to. Glorious, intimate, and loving communion with our Heavenly Lord. Psalm 138:2 says, you have magnified your word above all your name. Why would God do that? Why would God elevate words above his name? It's of no benefit for him to do so. It's for our benefit. Why? Because the word is the only source of knowledge of him. God wants his children to have the most intimate knowledge of him from creation to eternity. God has made himself known through his word. Be quick or anxious to hear it. Slow to speak. The second part of verse 19. Slow to the speaking is the literal here. If you translate it literally, it would say slow to the speaking. This is the other side of the coin. Slow to speak, says James. Slow to speak what? We understand in order to properly hear the word, we must be quiet and attentive. So we have a willing or humble spirit when coming to hear the word. Let it clear your mind. Pay attention. So be slow to speak the word. Be anxious to hear. Don't be anxious to speak the word. Listen to it. Meditate on it. Understand it. You can't be a babe in Christ and step into a teaching position or the pulpit. James 3:1, if you jump ahead, says, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we receive a stricter judgment. If you're a teacher, preacher, evangelist, what have you, you're doubly accountable for everything that comes out of your mouth. Everyone that teaches has to give an answer for what they said. You should take that very seriously. You should try to understand it as best you can before you ever try to tell anybody else. 1 Timothy 3, 1-11. Let's read that together. This is a qualification for overseers or elders. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, that would be a pastor, he desires a good work. A bishop must be blameless, husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Also, qualifications of deacons. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also be first tested, and let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. These are qualifications for elders or leaders of the church, but these are also qualifications for every believer. This is something that every believer should strive to be. But what I really want to look at is the word novice, not a novice. Not a novice in what? So a teacher or a preacher must carefully study and give an accurate exposition of the word. 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly divide the word. That's what Paul says. We must be deeply concerned with getting it right and horrified with the idea of getting it wrong. What we speak should edify the body of believers of the church and bring glory and honor to God the Father. That's the purpose of it. We're speaking his truth on his behalf. If we make his truth a lie, we're in a bad spot. We're leading his sheep astray. Acts 20:28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. It's a pretty high price. It was purchased with his blood. So if you're a pastor, an overseer, you're of the flock of God, which he purchased with his own blood, you better take it seriously. You're responsible for his sheep. You better get it right. Do not deceive his children. So this was about 7 or 8 years ago. I was in prison visiting. It's the only time I've been to prison, for the record. But I was part of a prison ministry with, it was multiple churches and one addiction ministry out of Greenville. We all went to the prison together. It was in December. Rocky and Barney, they sometimes go. So it was okay if you felt, you know, led to go up and speak, give your testimony, whatever you wanted to do. It was okay to do so. I usually just hang out and let people come to me, and I would minister to them that way. And that, this particular day, no one was really talking to me. I don't know if I had body odor or what, but they were just kind of staying away. So I sat back and I listened to the people that were led to go up and speak. I thought, okay, well, I'll just pay attention, you know. And one guy, he's there every time, and he goes up and he's like, please, guys, please. Please come to Christ, please. And it's like a 30-minute, please, tomorrow's not promised. Please, today is the day. And I agree with that. I wholeheartedly agree with that. But I don't recall him using any scripture at all. Remember, faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. So the next guy goes up and starts really, really pumping them up. And they're responding with, you know, yeah, and some amens. And then he quoted Philippians 4:13. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And, you know, he boldly proclaimed that, you know, they were excited, you know. I can jump a 50-foot wall through Christ who strengthens me. And I was like, and yeah, everybody's going nuts. Like, yeah. And I was like, dude, we're in prison. You just told these guys if they invoke Philippians 4:13, they can jump over the wall. And it's slightly out of context, but, you know, whatever it is. And I was dying. I was just like, oh, my gosh, this is a, this is a train wreck. And I was like, Lord, this is awful. This is what, you know, this is terrible, I thought. So this is where it gets a little hard. There's an all but an audible voice that said, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. I'm not going to do anything. So these words came to my mind. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That came to mind. I didn't know where it was at in the scriptures. I'm really horrible about remembering, you know, this verse says this and this, and it's in this chapter. I'm still not very good at it today. So I just went and dug around and found it. It was 2 Corinthians 5:21. Tell them that, this all but audible voice said to me. And I'm like, no, I don't really want to. It's a big nope. It says, I'm not doing that. I'm not standing in front of all these people. And it was like, yeah, you're going to do this. And I was like, no. You know, so after a long back and forth, I went up there. I read that verse and I gave them the gospel. That's something they had not heard. And that's everybody's responsibility as a believer. Remember, you're a king and a priest. You're to give the gospel. I wish I could say that, you know, dozens of men came forward weeping and crying, or hundreds, but it wasn't the case. It wasn't nowhere near the good news of jumping over the prison wall the next day, I guess. And I could just imagine, it's like Philippians 4. Like, it's not working, man. I don't know what's going on. Like, I said it. So let's be straight. I'm in no way saying that these other men did not have the best intentions. I'm absolutely sure they did. They They were not at all prepared for the task of shepherding those men. And really, neither was I. It was only by the work of the Holy Spirit bringing remembrance to that one verse and being able to show the gospel through that. That's it. And it was only because I was faithful to the Word and just reading it. It had nothing to do with, I had no desire, absolutely none, to stand in front of anybody and speak on God's behalf. It still terrifies me today. There's some days that I can walk right up here and it's like, okay, cool. There's other days I sit back there and my heart beats so bad my eyes blur. Don't tell my wife. She gets freaked out when I say stuff like that. It's nerve-wracking. It's not something to take lightly. So I'm sure they had the best of intentions, and you know they weren't prepared. So that was the very first time I spoke God's word in front of anyone. You know, I was absolutely horrified, like I said. If there's not some reservation in the speaking of the word of God, you're in a dangerous spot. You know, I'm sure Josh and Paul, Barney, you know, you guys, I'm sure you get nervous, you know, unless you're Superman. So if you look at James 1:26 and verses in chapter 3, verse 1, some of these believers, we're going back to the time when this was written now, some of these believers might have been accustomed to saying whatever they had on their mind, you know, if they didn't check it against Scripture, like the men at the prison, they may have been sincere but poorly taught, speaking from the heart, they say, you know, speaking from the heart. That's an awful place to speak from, because God's Word says man's heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. You know, some may have been arrogant and wanting to be heard back then. I don't think it was the case with these guys. But I visited my granddad's church one time. At the end, a man to my right said, I have a prayer request. So the pastor says, what is it? Well, the guy, he gets up and he walks over and he nudges the pastor out of the way and grabs the pulpit. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know this was a Baptist church. I said, I guess that's how they do it. And he starts to talk for about 20 minutes about how his son was dating an atheist or his daughter was dating an atheist. And he says, I'm not even sure I know what an atheist is. And he sat back down after the service. You know, I went over and talked to him. I kind of wanted to explain what an atheist was. And in the middle of the conversation, he stops me and he says, I know what an atheist is. I'm thinking, but you just told all those people that you didn't know what an atheist was from the pulpit in front of 80 people. You know, and then he stopped me again. You know, he didn't stop. I was just kind of dumbfounded that he said that. He's like, you see, I've been called to preach. And he said, I went to Higher Ground, and they just won't let anybody in the pulpit, so I came here. And I thought, okay, you know, this man wanted attention. He wanted to be in front of the church. He wanted to be heard. You know, he lied to that congregation about his knowledge of what an atheist is. He's definitely not called to the ministry. If he truly did not know what an atheist is, I would say he's, in his ignorance, he's disqualified from pastoral ministry. You know, he just wanted to be heard. And that's why he nudged the pastor out of the way to give his 20-minute prayer request. It's like, pray for me, my son's dating an atheist. It's pretty simple. You know, there's those people that have no reservation. They just want to be seen and heard. Like, I've been called. I've got the call to preach. You know, if you have a call to preach, it's going to be confirmed in your peers. It's going to be confirmed in the congregation that where you're at. You know, it's you know, if somebody comes here, if they walk through that front door and they say, I've been called to preach, and you know, you mind if we figure out if you're not crazy first? It would be great, because we don't know you. You know, it's got to be confirmed. So pride is a dangerous thing. If you desire to be heard, you're exalting yourself above the word and reality above God. Be anxious to hear the word. Be reluctant to speak it. So hear it, learn it, understand it. And then, eventually, and then every believer is called to teach. Everyone. Know the gospel. Be able to present it to someone. If you don't know the gospel, Christ died for sinners. That's it. And you know, there's plenty of scripture to back that up. So learn that first. If you're a babe in Christ, learn that, and then you can tell someone else. So, slow to wrath, the third part of verse 19. Slow to get angry. The word is convicting. Our natural and immediate response would be anger toward it. We're easily offended, especially if the word has just hit us right between the eyes over our sin. James says, be slow to get angry, slow to wrath. Think about what you've just heard. Let the Spirit guide you in this truth. You were just quick to hear. The Spirit will always agree with the word again, convicting you. Anger will suppress the Spirit just like any other sin. You're suppressing the Spirit with anger. Remember, you know, the flesh and the Spirit are continually at odds with each other. You know, the flesh, our human side, wants the world. And the Spirit is always driving us back to the Word. Always. So don't get mad. Meditate on it. Learn it. Even among believers, there's some resentment toward the Word. People's desires to have their own desires confirmed. It's like, well, this is kind of what I like to do. I mean, is there any way we can make sure that's cool? And it's not. Paul says in Galatians 4:16, have I become your enemies because I tell you the truth. The best thing you can do for any one person, is to tell them the truth, especially if it's the truth of the gospel. A friend of mine used to always say, the truth ain't always kind, but it's always true. I mean, the truth in reality is kind. It just kind of hurts a little bit when you hear it sometimes. So, why be slow to wrath? Verse 20, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Our anger can never accomplish what's right in God's eyes, especially if that anger is at His holy word. To be angry with the word in reality is to be angry with God. I'm sorry this may sound like story time, but these are instances that actually happened in my life that apply to this so well. But I got a phone call from a former church member one night. He was struggling with the idea of predestination. He read John 3:16 and said, it says right there, whosoever believeth. And he said it all King James-y like that. He said, believeth. And I explained the context of John 3:16. And I said, if you want to understand more about what you're asking me about, go to John 6, verses 37, 44. Verses 65, he wanted to know more about predestination and how John 3:16 had nothing to do with that subject. And he's like, I don't need to. I read John 3:16 and it says, whosoever. I said, okay, but I'm telling you, you know, there's this whole other Bible, or a whole other part of the Bible that, you know, you might want to look into also. You know, if your whole faith revolves around one verse, you might want to read the rest of it and kind of draw, you know, get the whole big picture here. So, over and over and over, I was like, well, you know, John 3:16 says over and over and over. I was like, okay, I get it. He was quick to speak, slow to hear, or slow to the hearing. He had it backwards. I pointed to him the scriptures that actually dealt with the subject that he was interested in or having trouble dealing with. And pride set in, it led to anger. He got mad at me, and I eventually got mad and just hung up because I was like, I don't know what else to tell you. I can't do it. I told him the truth, and he got angry. And it was just like Paul says, like, I tell you the truth, and you're angry. So, you know, his idea was, I've got it figured out. I don't need any more of the word. I've got John 3:16 right here in front of me. It says, whosoever. And that was really his end-all verse. And, you know, we hear that a lot. John 3:16. I don't want to explain the whole context of that, but for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. It's salvation. This is the way to salvation. So, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Do you have a desire for the Word? Do you long to hear it? You desire to read it? The answer is yes. Great. You go down to James 1:22, be doers of the word. Live it, love it. If you don't have a desire for the word, that answer is no. We need to go back to the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's go back to prison. Where I was terrified that one time. Well, let's imagine we're all in prison again. Should be fun, right? Anybody ever been in there visiting knows it's not much fun. But we've landed ourselves here in prison where we would have stood before a judge. We would have had to have been convicted of a crime if we're going to prison. We're convicted of breaking the law. Everyone in here has broken the law, every single person. The penalty is much stricter, though. Much harsher than prison. You've received a death sentence. You've broken God's law. You've been tried, found guilty, and sentenced to death. The judge has an option. He has a son that has lived a perfect, blameless, sinless life. He was born for the sole purpose of dying in your place, paying the debt of sin for you. No earthly judge would offer his son to spend a night in jail for a criminal. But an ultimate, merciful, all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful judge did. Not only did he give his son to die on my behalf, on your behalf, he offers you the right to become his son, adopted by him. Or you may have the right to call him Father. Mark 1:15, Christ says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Christ died for sinners. Four words. Are you a sinner? Yes. You're absolutely qualified for salvation. Turn and follow Christ. It's that simple. That's the first message I ever gave anyone or preached, if you will. If it's the last, I'm good with that. Our job, whether you're a king and a priest sitting out there or a pastor standing up here, all we're doing is pointing the way. That celestial city's that way. You know, we want to hang on to this old, terrible world. We love the things of it. We don't want to give it up for the purpose of Christ. But he gave his blood for his people, his sheep. If that's not enough, I don't know what is. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray that we long to hear it and never, ever cease. It's the way of salvation. It's the way to that celestial city. It's the way to you. Father God, let us be faithful doers of your word. Lord, if anyone here has not placed their faith in your son, I say today is the day. Just like the man in prison, tomorrow is not promised. Today is the day. You've heard that and you feel that today is the day for you, please come let us know. You talk to Paul or Josh or myself. We love you and we praise your holy name. And all of God's children said,